So today we're continuing in Shinayin Vav. As we pointed out, Shinayin Vav is not only about Nicham Avelim, but it's also about so many other minhagim that relate to Avelus and to Kvura and things like that. So we briefly touched upon last time the idea of washing hands after coming back from Beis HaKvaros. So the Beis Lechem Yehuda and the Gilyon of the Shulchan Aruch, we pointed out, said that B'shas Ritzicha, when you're washing your hands, a person should say Kaper Lamcha Yisrael, and some are wash their face also, Machal Kimdim Me'al Kalpanim, and then they say Bila Mavas LaNetzach, etc. So the Sefer Pnei Baruch quotes Machlokas, if there is a hakpada not to dry one hands, and the Geshur HaChaim says that the minig is not to dry one's hands, and that's certainly the minig that I've seen, that when you wash your hands coming out of Beis HaKvaros, you don't dry your hands. Chachmas Adam writes that you also shouldn't hand the kli from one person to the next when you're washing hands. You just put the kli down, and then the next person takes the kli. So Pnei Baruch quotes from Avri Yabok that the minig is that you pour out all the water in the kli. You don't leave water, half of the water in the kli. The Aruch HaShulchan says that not only those who carry the mace, but all those who are malav the mace, even though they, and not only those who go to a Beis HaKvaros, rather, all those who are malav the mace that are within Dal Ramul, so Samach Lamita, wash their hands. So that's what we mentioned last time. Just want to point out that I came across just this morning, Magen Avraham in Aruch Chaim Siman Dalid, Sivkat and Chaf Aleph, back in Hilchos Netilos Yadayim, Hilchos Hashkamos Boker, sounds that even if someone is more than Dal Ramul from the mace, add a levaya that you also require in Tzilus Yadayim, and Kumudmani Shekein Nahagu. I think that's the minhag, that most of the time you go to a funeral and everyone's there in the same room as the mace. For the Hespedim, everyone goes and washes their hands outside, even if they were not within Dalet Amos of the mace. They quote, I saw in the Sefer Chukei Chaim in Rabbi Skatchelis, the Sefer, that the Chazon Ish was knowing this way, that even if you're not within Dal Ramos, and that the Shevet Alevi was knowing this way, and it seems that that is the minhag. He also quotes that the Shevet Alevi and Rav Yashiv hold that while you're not supposed to go into a house without having washed your hands, but a Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash is different. Rav Vosner used to go straight back from a Beis HaKvaros to the Beis HaMedrash, and he would wash his hands inside the Beis Medrash building, as opposed to washing outside, which is the more typical thing. Whenever I do a levaya, when I come home, my wife always has, I come home and I see on the bench in front of our house that she has a cup of water waiting for me, so I shouldn't come into the house before washing the hands. That's certainly the minhag, not to come into a house before washing the hands, but not to come into a Beis Medrash, Beis HaKnesses. I had never heard of that, but he quotes from both Rav Eliashiv and Rav Vosner that think that that is a different story. Now, we mentioned the minhag. Yeah. Yeah, apparently not, because the for whatever reason the minhag is biased. It's ad kedei kach that apparently these poskim think even Beis Knesset Beis Medrash is so they do have a place to wash by the Beis HaKvaros, but if it's too long of a line and you're in a rush or you want to get out of there already, so I don't think it's a problem to go into the car. Usually you have to go into the car even just to get back to that place, where they wash. So once you're in the car, you stay in the car. Now, we mentioned last time the Ramah talks about being Yoshev Zayin Pa'amim, on the way back from the Beis HaKvaros, and some say Gimel Pa'amim, and we point out that our minhag is not that way. Our minhag is on the way to the Kvura, where we pause and we go, and we pause and we go. But over here in Siman Shinayin Vav, there's a Rabbi Kiva Eger that just mentions a whole bunch of minhagim that don't appear in Shulchan Aruch, and they are well-known minhagim, so it's just good to know the source of these minhagim. He quotes five different minhagim, Rabbi Kiveger on the spot. Number one, he says, you shouldn't go to kever echad beis pa'amim biyom. He quotes from an Arizal that you shouldn't go to the same kever twice in a day. I don't know in what context that would happen, that a person would do that. Maybe a person is particularly heartbroken after the loss of a close relative and wants to go back a second time. So he quotes from the Arizal, you shouldn't do that. Okay, number two, he says that if you read the ksav al gabe matseva, it's kosher l'shichcha. When you read the writing on a matseva, that is something that's not good for you, that causes you to forget. Kedi'iso b'horios, the problem is, I mean, the only difference is that in horios it says, in the Gemara in Horios, it says that it's kasha l'limud, that it makes it hard to learn, whereas Rebbe Akiva Eiger says it's kasha l'shichcha, causes you to forget. You could be machzir your limud by saying avarabba. So when you say, if you say over avarabba until bi'ahava, so that that will bring about the memories of the limud that you may have otherwise forgotten. But there is that concept that Rebbe Akiva Eiger quotes that reading matzevos is dangerous. So some of the later poskim say, yeah, but that's only when the matseva, when the ksav on the matseva is bolate, when it's not engraved in, etched in, but it's it's protruding out. It's like embossed on the matseva rather than engraved into the matseva, which would mean that it's pretty much never nogea, because all the matsevas we have, the writing is engraved in the matseva. It's sometimes, it's a very maybe a little morbid, but a very interesting thing to do. You learn a lot by seeing, by reading matzevas about, you go to like some of the cemeteries where Gedolei Olam are buried, and you see who's buried near them, and there must be a story, and like sometimes you come across something like very unique, there was what was it, but next to Rav Henoch and Rav Dov Leibowitz, there's like a guy who was like a 21-year-old kid that was an American soldier, and he died in war, and it said like he never ate non-kosher even though he was in the army and they didn't have a kosher option or whatever. Like, so just like these interesting, inspiring things that you read when you see the matzevas. Historians are like very into this, like very into reading matzevas and going. So question, should you be doing that or should you not be doing that? So I think the reason that they're knowing to be mekel is because it's engraved into the matzeva. They print it?
I've seen
Yeah, that's a problem. I mean, that's what he's talking about, that it's a problem. I don't think they could, if they do ink, it would rub out. How would they?
Like, ink is like engraved and colored sometimes. Like,
okay, maybe they'll do that.
Inside of like a gray headstone. Something.
Yeah? I don't know. Okay.
Real over here means out loud or inside one's head?
Oh, you're saying that it's only if you're reading it out loud? I don't know. It's not the way I ever understood it, but maybe that's the head too.
Why do we write things on a...
Right, meaning, right. So we, I told you, Rav Gold, you weren't here last week. Rav Goldbach said it's because there's a halacha that you're supposed to say a bracha on a place where a miracle happened to you. So after Tchias HaMesim, you should be able to find the place where it happened, so that you can.
Why do we?
What?
Minhag Yisrael is to write these long things on every matzeva.
Yeah.
Strange. No one's ever allowed to read them
actually. So that's what the question is. So what's that? So I thought you're suggesting a different one than what I suggested. I thought it's because they're engraved and they're not embossed. And there's something I'll pick up on if they're embossed on the stone, that it's bad. But maybe Korea means out loud. I don't know. I was once in a Beis HaKfaros and with my uncle, Julius Berman. And we saw on the way in, there was a matseva that said, Julius Berman. I guess someone else, I mean, obviously someone else by the name. So my cousin said, hey, Dad, you made a reservation? And he's like, no, but I'm afraid someone else made one for me. I guess, whatever. All right, a third minhag is that Rabbi Akiva Eiger quotes, is the Hakamas HaMatzeva is Acher Yud Beis Chodesh, because the Matzeva is for a sense of Chashivus, and Toch Yud Beis Chodesh there's Tsar, so it's not appropriate to create the sense of pride and Chashivus when it's still the time of Tsar. Or he says, and this is the more famous reason, that the purpose of the matseva is that the mace shouldn't be nishtakach min alev, that people shouldn't forget about the mace. And anyway, he's not forgotten b'toch yud beis chodesh, based on Gemara and Brachos, taf nun ches and beis, that ein mace mishtakach min alev, elo la'achar yud beis chodesh, and ema nishkachti kemeis milev hayisi kikli oved. And Rashi says that a stam kli, la'achar yud beis chodesh, is mishtakach min alev, because yeish bailim la'achar yud beis chodesh. Nafkamina between the reasons is that according to the first reason, you shouldn't do it. According to the second reason, you don't need to do it. Meaning, the shaila is it that you're not supposed to do Akamas Matseva within 12 months, or that you don't have to feel pressure to do Akamas Matseva within 12 months? So, if the issue is that Eina Mesen Shkech Min Alev, so good, so there's no need to do it. But if you say, like the first reason, that it's inappropriate, if it's inappropriate, then you shouldn't do it. If it's time of Tsar, not a time of Chashivus, then you dafka shouldn't do it. There are various minhagim about that, meaning not everyone waits Yud Beis Chodesh. In Eretz Yisrael, many places they do it by the Shloshim, but I think in America they usually wait till the yard site to do the Nakamas Matseva. A fourth minhag he quotes, you know what, let's do the fifth minhag first, then we'll go back to the fourth minhag because I have more to say on it. The fifth minhag that he quotes is that Bishas Kavura, you don't take the Mara V'chatzina Miyad Chavero, you Zorik La'aretz, and then you take it. So you'll, at any funeral that you've ever been to, the rabbi will probably announce it's customary not to hand the shovel one to the other, right? So that comes from the Sri Kiveger, that you, when you finish, when you tire from putting dirt into the grave, and you want to give someone else a turn to exhaust themselves and do this mitzvah, so instead of handing them the shovel, you just stick the shovel in the ground, and then someone else comes and takes it. So that appears in Rabbi Kivega. Someone got a question? Yeah.
What if there's a leap year, the second other? Is it 12 months or is it going to be 13 months?
So it sounds like it's 12 months. It's not a year. That it's neshtakech min alev. The other minhag, the fourth minhag that he quotes, is not to take anything out of the base of el kol zayin yemei avelus, because of the ruach tumah that's shorasham. That there's a ruach tumah in the base of el, so you don't remove anything from the base of el for the entire shiva. The shaila is that most often what happens in the base of el is that people make food for the avelim. So the Avelim don't have to worry about cooking food. On the first day, you have to make food for the Avelim because someone has to provide food for the Avelim because it's Asur Lechol Mishalehem. A Suda Savra'a has to be provided from somebody else, at least the first Suda, Machlux Rishonim, whether it's first Suda or the entire first day. But throughout Shiva, the Jewish people. So we go and we provide food for an Avel. But if you're providing food for somebody else, whenever a Jewish woman is cooking for somebody else, their biggest fear is that they're not going to provide enough food for the people that they're providing for. So they assume they do a cheshbon of how many avelim there are. They triple that number in their heads, and then they cook a little extra, right? So there's always a huge amount of food in a base avel, way more than the avelim could eat. A lot of times the avelim don't have time to eat, they're not hungry, they don't have an appetite, and you have all this food. But the Rabbi Kivi Eger says, minig is you don't take anything out of the base avel. So if you don't take anything out of the base avel, what do you do about this? So this is often a problem. So keep in mind, this minig does not appear in a Gemara, it does not appear in Rishonim, it does not appear in Shulchan Aruch. It first appears in Rabbi Kivi Eger. He doesn't, and Rabbi Kivi Eger doesn't say food. He says, kol davar katan v'gadol, which sounds like much more than food. It sounds like anything. You're not allowed to take anything out of a beis avel, not a sefer, nothing out of a beis avel. So Aruch HaShulchan quotes this minhag also. Later poskim have three approaches to how to deal with this minhag. The middle ground approach is that of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. In Milcha Shlomo Madura Tinyana, Simen Sadites, he says it is not a universally accepted minhag. He quotes a Yosef Ometz that says that it's a minhag ta'us, and therefore Rav Shlomo Zalman says, look, Rav Kivi Eger quotes it, but there are those that hold it's a minhag ta'us, so there's room to be makel for anything that's not mamish miyuchadim l'shimush b'beis ha'avel. Something that's not specifically designated for usage in the beis ha'avel. So maybe take a shiva chair out of the base avel, that you shouldn't do. But to take a sefer that's not a mamish miyuchad for a base avel, that would be mutter. So the shaila is, where does that leave food? So one could argue that that food is something that's miyuchad for the avelim, so it was given for the base avel. Or one could argue, no, now it's miyuchad for the garbage can, meaning if it's because it's all going to get thrown out if you can't take it out of the base avel. Furthermore, Shlomo Zalman writes that if you're doing a mitzvah by removing something from the base avel, then that would seem to override the minhag. Like if you're providing aniyim with money, so you can't take, how can you take money out of the base avel? So how can you give money to the aniyim? Elamai, that's a mitzvah. So a mitzvah is going to override the minhag. So one could argue that the fear of violating bal tashchis, of being wasteful of perfectly good food, or especially if you're providing the food to a local food bank or charity or something like that, or even for Bnei Yeshiva, so they could have the kochos to learn, and they could have more to do when they're bottling in the coffee room, right? So doing a mitzvah. So one could argue that would fit in that category. The second approach is Ravadi Yosef. Ravadi Yosef in Yabia Omer and Chelet Dalid says, Mandalo kapitlo kaptin in badei. That this is one of those minhagim that Ruach Ra, you know, if you're makbid about these things, you can be makbid about these things. But there's no reason to be makbid, meaning you don't have to be makbid about these things. And that's what's quoted, Yalkut Yosef quotes it obviously from his father as well, that you don't need to be makbid about it. So that's the most least concerned about this issue. Then on the other extreme, Rav Menashe Klein, in his tshuvas, in Chelek Zayin, Simen Resh Vav, it's funny, they all quote the same sources, right? They're all quoting the same Rabbi Kiva Eger and the same Yosef Omet, who doesn't like the minhag. But it's just a question of, okay, so now I have various sources, whether it's good minhag or a bad minhag. So Rav Adi Yosef says, Ruach Ra, you don't have to worry so much about it. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, you can't ignore it, but, put it into context. And Rav Menashe Klein says, "A minhag Yisrael, chas v'shalom lanu lefakpek al minhag Yisrael. How can we be mefakpek against minhag Yisrael? You know what the Chasam Sofer says about people who are not careful about minhag Yisrael? Botkin achrav. They probably have problems with their yichus. Terrible. How could you be? How could you ignore a minhag Yisrael? It seems that there's a raya from the Gemara that you are allowed to remove food from the Beis Avel, because the Gemara tells us that there's a din called Suda Savra, which we just mentioned before, Machlokas Rishonim, like we said, whether it just means the first meal or all the meals on the first day that have to come from someone else. But the halacha is that an avel is not allowed to eat mishalo. He has to eat mishal acherim on the at least for the first meal. So the Yerushalmi even goes so far as to say, Tavo me'ir al shchenav, if a guy needs to eat his own food, that the neighborhood should be cursed if they can't even get it together to provide food for the first day of Avelus. So the Gemara says that Rabba and Rav Yosef were not provided for by anybody. They both happened to have been Avelim at the same time. And Rabba and Rav Yosef, machlefisu desayu bahadadi. Right, similar to the Mishloach Manos Gemara, that they would switch they just traded sudos with each other. So they each had their own suda, but they didn't eat their own suda. They each provided the other one with the suda. So apparently they were removing food from Beis Avel, because Rabba's food went to Rav Yosef's Beis Avel, Rav Yosef's food went to Rabba's Beis Avel. Although, l'chor, it's not really a great raya, because what's the reason given in Rabbi Kivega that you don't take food from Beis Avel? Because a Ruach Tumma is Shora on all the food that's in the Beis Avel. So Mali, whether it's the Ruach Tumma from his Beis Avel or the Ruach Tumma from that Beis Avel, l'chor, it shouldn't make a difference. Two more points that are noteworthy. First of all, Rabbi Willick said that some poskim say that the entire concern of Ruach Tumah is only if the guy died in the house, that there is no Ruach Tumah if the mace didn't die in the house. So that's another major tzad lahakel. And second, the Rabbi Kivega writes that you don't remove anything called Dover Katam Begadol from the house kol Shiva. But as soon as Shiva's over, it seems that that's not even included in the minhag. Then you are allowed to remove things from the house. I saw in Rabbi Skatchelis' Sefer, I think with the Rabbi Willig, I just quoted my notes, Rabbi Willig, but I think at that point when I took these notes, the Rabbi Willig that I was talking to was Rabbi David Willig, if I'm not mistaken. I think I seem to remember saying, just going over to Rabbi David Willig in the Beis Medrash, saying, is there any basis for the minhag not to take food out of the Beis Avil? He's like, v'kiveg or shenayin vav. I was like, you know, and I remember being like, oh, okay. he just like had it in his back pocket. But he said, but don't worry so much, because it's Eliezer, that if the guy didn't die in the house, that it's not such a problem. I was never able to find it, it's Eliezer. But Rabbi Skatchelis has, from some other sefer that says the same thing, Shuvas Meshiv Nevonim, Chelik Beisim and Ayin Dalin, who makes those same two points, that that it's only if the guy dies in the house, and also only only during Shiva. Once Shiva's over, it's all good.
Does that create a similar other direction? That if you have somewhere like a hospital that someone died, but no one's sitting Shiva over there?
It seems that it's got to be both in order to because whenever you have a davar skuli, there's a big yisod. Rabbi Reisman always says over the Shem Rav Palm that whenever you have a davar skuli, we follow it, but only exactly as it says. As soon as you change a mashu from it, then then if it's something that's mistaver, so you could analyze. But something that's not based on svara, just something that's based on skula, so then it's only if it's exactly as it says. Once you change anything, it changes. Okay, now this simon is also the simon where we have all of the menhagim of kaddish and tefillah in the gigantic Ramah and Sif Dalit, right? That all comes up over here as well. So let's talk a little bit about that. Let's talk a little bit about Kaddish first and then about Tefillah. So there are a lot of details about Kaddish. Most of the details about Kaddish are halachos and nogeya to zuchuse kedima by Kaddish, with the assumption that only one person is saying Kaddish, like they still do by the yekas and broyers. There's only one person that says Kaddish, so you have to figure out who gets to say the Kaddish. Those halachos are irrelevant to most of us as far as Kaddish is concerned. They're very relevant as far as who gets the Amud, as far as davening for an Amud is concerned. So maybe we'll get into some of those klalim of Zuchusei Kedima a little bit later on. Now the Bir Alachin Sim Kuflam Beis says that really we say Kaddish after Aleinu because of the psukim that are mentioned in Aleinu, but the minhag is you give that Kaddish to Yisomim Ketanim who are unable to be mispalel, and that's the basis for the Kaddish Yosom after Aleinu, meaning the Kaddish Yosom after Aleinu is not really for the people that are normally saying Kaddish. The Kaddish Yosom after Aleinu, the Bir Alacha writes, is really because there are psukim in Aleinu, so we say Kaddish, and the minhag was to give it to Yisomim who otherwise can't say Kaddish, who otherwise would not be able to lead the tefillah. The Iker Kaddishim that an Avil is gonna say are the ones that are in the tefillah, are the ones that are after Uvalitzion and the one and after Tachmon. Those are the Iker Kaddishim. But the one after Aleinu was really not for them. I remember Shachter was in Avelos when his father passed away, Rav Melech Shachter passed away. He would never say that Kaddish. He would daven for an Amud. It was always nice, long davenings. He would daven for an Amud, and he would never say that Kaddish because he felt that Kaddish wasn't for him. Now, it would turn out that even if you didn't daven B'tzibur, and you just get to shul for Aleinu, and there are 10 people in the shul, the Yisomim could say that Kaddish after Aleinu, meaning it's not Nogeya, the Kaddish is not Mekusher at all to the Tefillah of Shmona Esrei, it's Mekusher to the Psukim in Aleinu. So as long as you're there for Aleinu, so nothing wrong with saying that that Kaddish. Now the Ramah writes over here that Nimtza b'midrashos to say Kaddish for a father, and therefore we say Kaddish for a father and a mother for Yud Beis Chodesh. We'll get to how long we actually say for, but that's what the Ramah writes. And when a son davens and is Mekaddish Barabim, it's Poda Ovi V'Imo Min HaGehenim. It redeems his parents from Gehenim. So Yalkut Yosef in Simon Chav Gimel quotes from Maseches Kala Rabasi, and he quotes from Chaim, he quotes that line from the Kala Rabasi, and he quotes from Chaim Vital in Shar Kavanos, the name of the Arizal, that the reason we say Kaddish is not like people think, that it's only to save from Gehenim, but it's also to be Mala mi Madrega le Madrega b'Gan Eden. That is a comforting thing to know, to have in your back pocket, to tell people. Because people are like, we'll say, I don't want to say Kaddish because Kaddish is saved from Gehenna. I don't believe my parents are in Gehenna. Rav Shechter says that all the time. Rav Shechter always says that he wasn't so careful about the Kaddishim during, you know, if he had to miss a minion because he was flying to Israel or something and he couldn't daven with the minion on the plane. He wasn't worried about it. He didn't get too nervous about it because he knew that his parents aren't in Gehenna anyway because they're big tzaddikim. But most people do get somewhat nervous about it. But, you know, for a lot of people, it's very difficult to, you know, it doesn't resonate so much with them to say that, oh, you're saying Kaddish to get your parents, you know, to cool off Gehenim for your parents. What do you mean? I think my parents, part of the mitzvah of Kibbut Aveim, Chacham Asadim writes, is not only to be Mechabdo B'dibur and B'maisa, but it's B'machshava, and Chacham Asadim writes. And what Ketzah Mechabdo B'machshava, how does a person have Kibbut Aveim B'machshava? Is that you believe that your parents are Gedolei Olam, even though the whole rest of the world doesn't seem to share that belief. A person is supposed to believe that their parents are Gedolei Olam. That's how you mechabed b'machshava. So a person is very likely to think, my parents aren't in Gehenna. So it's good to know this from Chaim Vital, that it's not only to take them out of Gehenna, it's to be, you know, mala them, mimala maila in Gan Eden. The Gilir Masha quotes Rivash in the name of Tanchuma, that there was a mace echad that they found the mace being mekoshesh etzim, I don't know, in a dream or whatever, but they found this mace being mekoshesh etzim, and he said that his din is to be mavir gehenim. He has to be mekoshesh the etzim every day to gather the wood together to fuel the fires of Gehenim that he's then going to burn in, and the only way he's going to be saved from this din is if his son says Kaddish for him. So there is such a tradition. The Rama also quotes that we say Kaddish on the yard side as well, and that's the minag, but that doesn't appear in the Medrash anywhere, right? That the Rama just says that's the minag. In Gilyan Marsha, he writes that there are many places that didn't have that minhag, and he quotes the Chinuch Beis Yehuda that the minhag is ein lo ikr, but that's the minhag as well, that on the yard side people say Kaddish as well. Then the Rambam goes on to say that we say Kaddish not only for a father but for a mother as well, and even if the father is alive, he cannot be make a macha'a against the son not to say Kaddish for the mother. This is a fascinating discussion just in general, right? When two parents want two different things. But over here, you have the added twist of the emotional element of saying Kaddish for a mother, and the fact that the mother's dead and the father's alive. So the Rama writes, the father does not have the right to tell a son, I don't want you saying Kaddish for mom. L'chora, that's Taloi, not L'chora, it is Taloi in a Machlokas HaPoskim. It's not so pashut what the Rama says. Pischei Tshuva in Simen Reish Mem, in Hilchas Kibbut Aveim, in Sivkat and Yudalib, quotes from a Yamshel Shlomo in the first parak of Kiddushin, that you should not listen to a father who tells you not to say Kaddish for a mother, because the father himself is in violation of Yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. That he's supposed to, he's supposed to love other people, especially your wife, and that's a violation that the father's in violation of. Which is interesting. When a father's in violation of Yisurim, there's no mitzvah of Kibbut Aveim. Meaning, there's the Gemara says you don't do Kibbut Aveim when the father tells you to violate an Isser. But if he's not telling you to violate an Isser, he's just in violation of an Isser of the Avdal Re'echa Kamocha, that he's not showing appropriate love for his fellow Jews. I don't know. Is there really such a din that there's no Kibbut Aveim? It could be what the Marshal means is that if you were to listen to your father, you would be goreim that he'll violate the Avdal Re'echa Kamocha, and then it's Lifnei Iver. It doesn't sound like that's what he means, because he's in violation of the Avdal Re'echa Kamocha. Either way, it's just a question of whether you're going to listen to him based on his request of the Avdal Re'echa Kamocha. Not necessarily, meaning it's a minhag, so he's telling you not to do this minhag. But I guess if you hold that she's burning in Gehenna and you're not helping her get out, then in that sense it is. The Rivash in Simur Kuf Tesvav writes that Kavra Av is Kodem, and you don't say Kaddish. Ooh, so it's not agreed upon by everybody that you don't listen to the father. The Rivash says, Kibbut Av wins, and you don't say the Kaddish for the mother. But he also quotes the name of the Kolbel, that if the father is Makbid, even though the mother left the Tzava'a to say Kaddish for her, Kavod Aviv Adif Mikvod Imo, that the Kavod of the father is Adif from Kvod Imo. One second, we'll get to it in a second. Prey Baruch, in Simulam Dalid, in footnote Lamed Ches, quotes from a Tshuva Me'ava that our minhag is like the Yamshel Shlomo, that we don't listen to the Father. Yalkut Yosef, in Simon Chav Gimel, Oz Hei, and all this is quoted in Yabia Omer Chel Gimel, Yaredea, Simon Chav Vav, Ba'arichos, says we only don't listen to the Father if the Father is makbid because he's angry at the mother or he doesn't like the mother, because then it's like he's telling you lavar al divrei Torah. Then it's as if the Father is telling you to do an avera. But if the Father thinks, if the reason he's makbid is because he says, for me to hear my son while I'm alive saying Kaddish, I think that's a sakana for me. I think it's an ayin hara for me. I think that that's bad for me in some way. So then it's not because he's not in violation of the Avdol Re'echa Kamocha, and then you would listen to the Father. Furthermore, he says, if there's no minug yadua, which shita to follow, whether to listen to your father or not, shevi al tasa adif. So not saying Kaddish is b'shevi al tasa. Saying Kaddish is going to be violating what the father says, b'kum v'asei. Now, this is a fascinating discussion, because the assumption of the whole discussion is that kavod av is adif mi kavod aim, and that the only counter-argument is, yeah, but the father's doing an aveira. Right, but is it really kavod av adav mi kavod aim? Rabbi Kiveger in a tshuva in Siman Samech Ches, he asks the tshuva. He asks on what the Beis Yosef quotes from the Kolbo that kavod aviv is adav, that the Gemara in Kiddushin says that if they're niskarshu, if they get divorced, then shneim shavin. Right, the Gemara in Kiddushin says kavod av is adav because the mother's chayiv in the kavod of the father also. But once they're divorced, and the father says, get me a cup of water, and the mother says, get me a cup of water, so the Gemara says, you just put it in between them. You can't make, either you could choose whichever you want, or you can't make such a decision, but there's certainly no din that kavod av is kodem l'kavod aim. So mali, whether they're divorced, or mali, whether one of them died. Either way, they're not married anymore, right? If the mother died, so she's not married to the father anymore. So l'chora, there shouldn't be this din of kavod av kodem l'kavod imo. So Nadav Yehuda in Madura Tinyana, Ibn Ezra Simon Memhei writes that the real reason is because kavod chayim is adav mikavod mesim. That's the real reason. Meaning it's not really about aviv versus imo, it's about chayim versus mesim. The mother's dead, the father's alive, and kavod chayim is adiv. But the Beis Yosef doesn't say that. Rabbi Kiveger leaves it as etzorach iyun. The hanacha of Rabbi Kiveger, that was an interesting hanacha, right? Rabbi Kiveger takes as an assumption, he takes for granted, umahefresh ben pirud gerushin lepirud misa. Right, that's what Mickey Vega says. What difference does it make whether the marriage was severed by divorce or by death? So I think the Nadav Yehuda writes that there's a chiluk gadol b'neihem, that when a mother dies, it's not a full pirud. She's still kafuf lebayla b'misasa. Somewhat, there's still some connection. You bury them next to each other, and that's why the Kolbo writes that you have to listen to the father and not to the mother. But when the father dies and he says to say Kaddish, and the mother is alive and doesn't want you to say Kaddish, so it's not so clear that the Kolbo's Svara applies, because in Isha's Kfufa Labaila, maybe in such a case as well. Or no, maybe you say, meaning the nafkamina between the two possible reasons as to why you would listen to the surviving father not to say Kaddish for the deceased mother. Again, two reasons are, number one, what the Kolbo says, kavod aviv adiv, and the other reason is kavod chayim adiv. So nafkamina would be, what if it were the reverse? What if the shoe were on the other foot? The father died and the mother's alive. So kavod aviv adif would mean that you would say the Kaddish. Kavod chayim adif would mean that you would not say the Kaddish. Now, it could be that when a woman's husband dies, then the svara of mali pirud gerushin, mali pirud misa, is a stronger svara. Meaning, when a man's wife dies, so not much has changed in terms of the way he relates to her. Meaning, he still relates to her as his wife. When a woman's husband dies, a huge change has happened. because up until that point she was an Eishes Ish and she could not marry anybody else. Now she can actually go and marry somebody else. So that is a huge break between them. When a man's wife dies on a Daraisa level, but for the Chayim to Rabbeinu Gershom, he could have married someone else anyway, even while she was alive. So the way he relates to her hasn't changed all that much. So it could be that the fact that she can get remarried is evidence of the idea that there are no chiyuvim remaining to her husband, and she has the same din as a grusha. So there's no reason she should be kafuf to the husband, and therefore maybe she can be makbid that he shouldn't say kaddish. It's also an interesting discussion just about what it means kibbalav la achamisa, meaning if a parent is deceased, is the nature of kibbalav that you do things that they like you to do? Meaning that may be true when they're alive. The Gemara talks about in Maseches Kiddushin, how are you mechabed b'chayev and how are you mechabed l'achramoso? So the Gemara talks about b'chayev, you know, if they're hungry, you get them food. If they need to be brought somewhere, you schlep them there. They need clothing, you help buy them clothing. Whatever it is that they need, you provide their needs. Mechabed l'achramoso, how do you do it? You say, hareini kaparas mishkavim. You say, like, reverential things about them. Okay, but what about doing things that they wanted you to do? Is that included in the mitzvah of kibbutz aveim? So that's also not so pashut. Rabbi Kiveger writes that there's a stir in the Gemara whether there's kibbutz achar misa, because the Gemara in Kiddushin says beferish that mechabdul achar misa by saying abamari arin kaparas mishkavo, things like that. But in Ksubas Daf Kuf Gimel it says that you're not chayiv b'kvod ach v'gadol after the parent dies, because it's only mishum kvod aviv. And la'achar misas aviv, it doesn't apply anymore. So what's the chilek? Which is it? Does kibbutz apply after? So you have to be mechalik that it's dafka, something that's a kavod ugedula for the father. That's shayich la'achar moso, to be parea his chov. The Gemara in Ksubas Daf Tzadi Aleph says is a mitzvah liyisom in mishum kibbutz av. But something that's nachas ruach la'aviv, something that's not mishum kavod ugedula, but it's mishum nachas ruach, it just makes them happy that you do it. It could be that that's not shayich la'achar misa, because, you know, lo ichbat le at this point, you know, they're not alive here to enjoy it. So it could be that by the kiyum of the tzava'a, that's only an inyan of nachas ruach, and that maybe isn't shayich la'achar misa. So that's what Rikveger suggests, but then he's chozer on it, because he points out that the stimus loshon of the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Reish Ayin Sif Tes is that you have to be mekayim ratzonim la'achar misa as well, and maybe that's part of the din of mora, not to violate a tzava'a. I've mentioned in the past, I once had a case, there was a guy in my shul who grew up in a very yeshivish family, and in his family, Dr. Pelkovitz talks about a family bumper sticker, you know, like so his family's bumper sticker was Lakewood, Mir, or Bust, meaning like that's, you know, success is Lakewood and Mir, and if not, you are a failure. Whatever. That's the way families sometimes operate. You know, for some it's Ivy League or you're a failure. So that was in his family. So he was not Lakewood Mir. You know, he was not headed down that path. All of his 10 siblings were exactly on that path, and they were, you know, they were. And he told me that when his parents used to come to parent teacher conferences, the Rebbe would say, you know, 10 out of 11 is like a very high batting average. Like, you know, like they would, Rebbe would like comfort them, but like, you know, okay, so one of them, you blew it on one of them. But, you know, 10 out of 11 is really good, you know. So, this guy, you know, he had a very interesting, very colorful path in life. Eventually, he ended up like in Beis HaKnesset of North Woodmere, you know what I'm saying? Like, he ended up in like, what do you call it? Like right-wing modern orthodoxy, you know? Like he doesn't wear a hat, he doesn't wear a jacket, but he has chavrusa and he davens with the minyan and, you know, and sends kids to yeshivas and whatever, and he's a really good guy in general. So when his mother was dying, his mother said to him, I just want you to do one thing for me. And he was, you know, a very good son. He was trying to, you know, to do his best. And his mother said, you're going to be saying Kaddish for me soon. I'm not going to be here anymore. And when you say Kaddish for me, I want you to wear a black hat. That was her dying wish. So So, you know, to him, at that stage in his life, like the black hat represented, it wasn't just a black hat, like, you know, what do I care? My mother wants me to wear a shirt that has funny colors like this. I'm like, oh, okay, you know, like she bought me a shirt. You know, but you know, like, okay, whatever my mother wants me to do, I'm happy to do. But to him, like, to put on a black hat, that like represented, it was like chains to him, like to him in his mind. So his shaila was, do I have to listen? Right? So part of the shaila is there any such din of doing nachas ruach to your parents? Like, he used to drive his mother crazy that he wore jeans. You know, he would come on Sunday sometimes wearing jeans, and she'd be like, he has to come to Brooklyn wearing jeans? Like, well, you know, like, doesn't he have any sense of my neighbors see that? You know, like, so the shaila is, does he have to, is there such a din of nachas ruach? That is part of the shaila. The shaila is also how much emotional trauma do you have to go through in order to be mekayim kibbutz aveim. But anyway, that was that's nogea to this issue of kibud la'achar misa. Okay. Furthermore, pischei tshuva nutam. Pischei tshuva in shin dalid mem sifkan alf quotes from an Evan Hashoam Siminayin Beis that someone who's mitzaveh that his son shouldn't say kaddish on him shomun lo, you listen to him. But in tshuvas chalkas Yaakov chelik beis in mitzadi gimel, he says you don't have to listen to him. So in Yalkut Yosef he paskins, You got to say Kaddish. He quotes a Maisa from the Sholem Meshiv in Sholem Meshiv Tlisa'ach, Chelgalus, in Reshon and Tess, that a chassid Echad asked the Yeshua's Yaakov that his father was a big misnagid, and he said that he doesn't want the kid saying Kaddish for him because the kid was a chassid and he was going to say V'yatzmach Prokarni V'kari Mashichei. And the father said, I don't want such a Kaddish being said for me with V'yatzmach Prokarni. So, as my Hasidish son, you can't say Kaddish. So the Hasidish son wanted to know, should he say Kaddish for the father? So Yeshua's Yaakov said, the father can't tell you not to say Kaddish, but you should say Kaddish without V'yatzmach Berkane. Meaning, if he didn't, Dafka didn't want that, they say that the way the Maisa is often told in Hasidic circles is that he asked the Hasidish Rebbe, and the Hasidish Rebbe said, now he wants you to say it. I mean, now he knows that you know that you should be saying the Yasmin Khanna. Okay, so maybe. The Ramah further writes over here that Kaddish is only for Avve'im, not for Shar Krovim. And if there's no Avel al Avve'imo in Shul, so someone who doesn't have father or mother should say for Kol Mesa Yisrael, should say Kaddish for all Mesa Yisrael. There are mekomos that they're knowing to say for Shar Krovim as well, he points out, when there are no Avelim al Avim v'imam, and some places even when there are Avelim al Avim v'imam, and they make some sort of pshara that they don't say as many Kadeshim like the Avelim al Avim, everyone should follow their minhag. As long as there's a minhag kavua be'ir, everyone should follow their minhag. I think our minhag is that really only say, meaning our minhag is that we're not so medactic about this because everyone's saying it anyway, but certainly to get an amud, you don't give for an avel who's you know, sitting shiva, you know, who's in shloshim or whatever, for a brother or for something else, you know, not for aveim. Certainly anyone's aveim is gonna get the amud. And as far as kaddish, people are gonna say kaddish anyway. Some people are gonna say kaddish anyway. It doesn't really matter. The Rama writes further that the avelim say kaddish even on Shabbos and Yantav. And the reason is, even though the Gehenim is closed on Shabbos and Yom Tov, right? That's why it's such an inyan to daven for a number on Motzai Shabbos Dafka, because that's when the Gehenim is reopening. So you want to create those zuchuyos Dafka then, as Rav Meir Goldwicht always recommends at a base Avel. I was sitting next to Rav Goldwicht at a base Avel recently, and he told the, it was Baruch David Shriver was sitting shiva. You ever see those Nara'os Harav booklets? He wrote up a lot of the Rav Shirim. He was never a Talmud. He was a Talmud Tarav Das. Genius of a guy. So he was sitting shiva for his wife. Rav Shachta is very close to the Baruch David because he's a genius. Rav Shachta loves him. He loves Rav Goldwicht said to Baruch David last week when he was sitting shiva, and to all the children, that every Matzoi Shabbos, right after Avdallah, you should sit down and learn two Mishnayos. because Mishnah is also Yos Neshama, and it's Dafka when Gehenim reopens for business, so you Dafka want to be valid in Neshama at that point in time. So Baruch David said, when my father passed away, he told me to do a whole perek. I could have gotten away with only two Mishnayos. We've been doing a whole perek the whole time. I'm going to smile, but whatever. So the idea is what was I saying? So even though Shabbos and Yantif, Gehenim is closed, so you think, what do you need to say Kaddish for? But it's still an Aliyas and Shabbos, meaning you fall back to the Rav Chaim Vital, that even in Gan Eden, it's Mala, from one Madrega to the next in Gan Eden. There is a Machlokas Taz in Nekudas HaKesef about someone who dies on Shabbos. We discussed already whether he should say Kaddish, whether the own name should say Kaddish. Nekudas HaKesef says we don't do it. L'chora, that's totally a Machlokas Taz in Shach and Simtaf Beis about Kviyas Yom HaYartzeit, meaning when does the real din of the dinim of the Meis apply? Is it Mishas Kvur or Mishas Misa? So if Kviyas Yom HaYartzeit is Mishas Misa, then maybe the dinim of the mace already applied then, and then maybe you should already say Kaddish. But if it's based on Shas Kvura, so maybe it's too early to say Kaddish. Maybe not. Maybe it's those relate to each other. Now, how long does one say Kaddish for? So there are basically three shittos. The Rama writes, Nogim Sheinom Kaddish Tfila Rak Yud Alev Chadashim Kadesh Layasu Avim V'imam Rishayim Kimishvat Rasha Yud Beis Chodesh. That Mishpat Rishon Begehenim is Yud Beis Chodesh. So minig is, you shouldn't make this public, statement that you hold that your parents are Rishayim and therefore need Yud Beis Chodesh of Kaddish. So the minig is, you say Kaddish for only 11 months. And we don't even say it for one day into the 12th month, because Geshar Chaim writes in Paraglamados Tes, Sivkat and Gimel, because Yom Echad B'Chodesh is Chashav Chodesh. So we dafka want to make it clear that by no definition of 12 months are you saying Kaddish for 12 months. The Geshar Chaim does point out, though, and this is the minhag, that if for whatever reason you're saying Kaddish for somebody else who's not your parent, then you do say it for 12 months. Because it's not a chisaron of kibbutz, even he says for an in-law. Let's say people had only daughters, they didn't have sons. So the sons-in-law, or one of the sons-in-law, maybe is going to take upon themselves to say Kaddish for them. So then they should say Kaddish for 12 months. Pischei Tshuva in Sivkat and Tes writes that if you know that your parents are Rishayim, then you should say it for Yud Beis Chodesh, like a Ma'avid Atzma L'das. We stop saying Kaddish again one day before, the anniversary, the 11-month anniversary, meaning if the yard site is Zayin Shvat, we say until Vav Teves Ad Yad B'chal, right? We say not until Zayin Teves, but Vav Teves, right? You don't want to go. There's no chilik between a Shana Mu'beres and a Shana Pshuta, meaning it's always Yud Aleph Chodesh. So Shana Mu'beres, it turns out that there are 2 months between finishing Kaddish and the yard site. Now we count from the Yom HaKvura, but if there's a lot of days in between the Misa and the Kvura, then they count from the Yom HaMisa. That's in the Bir Alach. Bir Alach and Sim Kuf Lamed Beis quotes that from the Levush. Rav Moshe writes that you always count Yom HaKvura, not Yom HaMisa, even if there are many days in between. Typically there aren't many days in between, but typically we count Miyom HaKavura, even though the yard site in the future years is going to be Miyom HaMisa. Now, based on what we quote from the Arizal, the Rechaim Vital, L'chora, you should have said Kaddish all Yud Beis Chodesh, because even Maila began Eden, right? But I don't think anyone says that. So that's I guess. If we had to figure out how long you say Kaddish for, so you could say there are really two minhagim, but there are three possibilities. So the possibility that's not a minhag is to say for all Yud Beis Chodesh. What's the third possibility that actually is a minhag? So Yakut Yosef writes Lahalacha in Simon Chav Gimel Oz Beis that you say Kaddish kol Yud Beis Chodesh, except you take a week off at the beginning of the 12th month. And then after that week off, at the beginning of the 12th month, you say Kaddish again until the end of Yud Beis Chodesh. And the Svara is, because the Knesset HaGadol writes in Siman Tav Gimel, that as far as Mishpat Shel Gehenim, as long as it's under 12 months, so you're good. And he writes that the Chida writes the same way in Berkei Yosef, in Shinayin Vav, over here. And the Chida writes, really you should have said Kol Yud Beis Chodesh, but people are going to say that you're being disrespectful for your parents. So the Chida says, so that's why we take a week off from the Kaddish. And Gesher HaChaim says that there are Yechidim that are no Ekein. So I don't know, do Sfarim do that? Any idea? Got a question? Or?
Big question.
Yeah.
If a person's davening in a minyan, they have a minhag and the community has a different minhag, should they just follow that?
In terms of how long to say Kaddish? I don't think so. I think that could be up to the person, meaning the community is just going to go along with whatever you do as far as Kaddish. Now, as far as the words of Kaddish, that's the Sephardic poskim all say that Sephardim should say a Sephardic Kaddish no matter where they daven, and the Ashkenazi poskim say that they shouldn't. So, Sephardi davening Ashkenazi shul will always do it, and then the people love it. The people in the shul love it. Rebach! They're happy that they don't do it. But sometimes, the rabbi is grimacing a little bit, whatever. That's the way it goes. That's the minig is to fight about. Does anyone know if Sephardim do that? If Sephardim take a week off?
I was trying to remind you, I think they do.
Yeah? Okay. Good. I'm sure maybe we'll get an email or something. We're out of time already. I wasted too much time at the beginning. Okay. All right. Tomorrow, Sunday schedule? Tomorrow's a holiday schedule? Okay. Sunday schedule tomorrow. We'll leave that there.